Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 16 April, 2026, Hebrews.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, the incomparable Christ. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship with you through the study of the Word, we ask that God the Holy Spirit might take that truth of the Word of God and set it apart to the nourishment and blessing of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we have a couple of updates this evening. First of all, the update from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. Las Ventanas Psalm 23 report for April 15th, 2026. The Las Ventanas lesson on Wednesday, April 15th, went very well with seven ladies. That's the number of perfection, you know. Seven ladies. A larger than normal group. Pastor Olson taught the 23rd Psalm by continuing the shepherd-sheep analogy. In verse 1, David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." And the pastor explained that as sheep, we do not lack for anything. And that is the grace policy of God toward the believer. And this includes logistical grace, blessing and support to meet the needs of every single believer in the devil's world, providing equal opportunity to fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our life. This may even be in the face of great disaster, as it was for David during the Absalom revolution. Glory to God as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And, of course, your prayers are greatly appreciated, Rich Blair. And then, for the first time, the Valencia Senior Living Center update for April 16th, 2026. We started lesson one of the Heaven Special. I was getting concerned when it was 9:59 and the lesson was supposed to start at 10 and the only one there was Jerry Cahoon. And he knows all about heaven. It was 1 minute to go, and then at 10:01, three men came in. Now notice, Las Ventanas, it's all women. Valencia's Senior Living Center, it's all men. Three men came in and were here for the class. Charlie, Mark, and Bob. You know, what about Bob, you know? And they enjoyed the class. I began with the gospel and then gave them each the LPB, the little purple book, gospel booklet. Mark immediately asked me, what about water baptism? And Jerry says, well, let's go jump in the pool. I explained it was not a salvation requirement, but simply a picture of salvation. And then Mark explained to me what the picture of water baptism was, and he even clarified, it doesn't save you because you were water baptized. Yeah, but you, when you believe in Christ, faith alone and Christ alone, apart from any and all works, you have spirit baptism, and that is what is necessary. They enjoyed the class. They all said they would be back, and they would even pass the word around. So, who knows? Instead of three, it might be 30 next Thursday. But pray that God will make this class known there and draw by his hand of grace all the people that are supposed to be there and prepare their hearts. Jerry Cahoon. All right. Hebrews chapter 1. And I've told you how much this is absolutely an amazing epistle. Hebrews. Nobody knows who the author is. Nobody even knows where it was sent to. But without a question, Hebrews is one of the greatest and most important books in the New Testament Scriptures. And it contains an in-depth study of both the deity and the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, his hypostatic union. It covers his earthly ministry to his exaltation at the right hand of God the Father. This epistle explains the excellence of Christ in his person, in his priesthood, in his preeminence, and his purpose for coming to earth. The book of Hebrews reminds Jewish believers that Christ is infinitely superior to anything they had in Judaism, and that he is sufficient for every area of their spiritual lives. We are in the first paragraph, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. The incomparable Christ. Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. The incomparable Christ. And we have exegeted verse 1 and partway through verse 2. And what we have exegeted sounds like this. In many parts of the Old Testament, and in many various ways, long ago, God, having communicated to the fathers through the prophets. In these last days, he, God the Father, has communicated to us through his Son. And then we had whom his Son, he, God the Father, appointed heir of all things. In the past, In the Old Testament period, God revealed himself through prophets who were mere men. But Jesus is the eternal Son of God, possesses the essence of deity, and is the one through whom God is speaking in these last days. The prophets spoke the word of God, but the Son is the living word of God. And we saw that in John 1:1. Therefore, it is Jesus, the Son of God, who expresses the New Testament revelation of all that the Father is and once revealed to mankind. God the Son, who is deity and co-equal with God the Father, who has intimate fellowship with the Father because he has the very same essence as the Father. It is Jesus who has declared and perfectly explained, and the Greek word is exegeomai. He has exegeted God the Father. Jesus perfectly explains the works and the will of God the Father. In these last days, He, the Father, has communicated to us through His Son. The writer of Hebrews then sets forth seven reasons why Jesus qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. First, he is the heir of all things. Second, he is the creator of the universe. Third, he radiates God's glory. Four, he represents God. Five, he is the sustainer of the universe. Six, he is the Redeemer. He is the only Savior. Seven, he is ruler, the King of all kings, and the Lord of all lords. All of this is in verses 1 through 3, presenting the incomparable Christ. Reason number one, he is heir of all things. As the eternal Son of God the Father, Christ is the heir of all things. Behind heirship is the authority to be Lord over all that the Father possesses. Heir of all things includes everything in the universe, both now and for eternity. Christ must be God in order to rule forever over the universe. Jesus Christ was there when the appointment was made. He was there when the decrees were decreed. As a part of the divine decrees, Jesus Christ is the heir of all things. And that's why Christ is called the Son of God. That doesn't make him inferior, absolutely not. It makes him the heir of all things. Sonship means heirship. Heirship is based on sonship. And we saw that in Romans 8, 16 and 17 and Galatians 3, 26 and 20 through 29. Now that brings us to reason number two. Reason number two, he is the creator of the universe. Reason number two, why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old, is because he is the creator of the universe. The King James starts out and says, by whom also he made the worlds. This is the preposition dia plus the genitive of the relative pronoun hos plus the conjunction kai plus the aorist active indicative of poieo plus the accusative plural of ion with the definite article. So dia plus the genitive. The preposition dia plus the genitive. When you have dia plus the genitive, it means by means of or through. And when you have dia plus the accusative, it means because of or on account of. But we have dia plus the genitive, and it's the genitive of the relative pronoun hos. H-O-S, hos. And hos means, so you translate this, through whom or by means of whom. That is, through Christ or by means of Christ. And then we have the conjunction chi, and the conjunction chi is an adjunctive use of chi and is correctly translated also. And then we have the verb poieo. Poieo. Looks like that in the Greek, P-O-I-E, long O, poieo. All right, a couple of things on this verse. First of all, literally. Poieo literally means to do. A lot of times it's simply translated to do or to make or to manufacture or to produce or to design. That's literally to do, to make, to manufacture, to produce, to design. Point two, figuratively, poieo is used of God's creative activity. And then it means to create. Now, katizo is one of the creation verbs, but here, figuratively, poieo is used to create. God's creative activity, to create. Three, and the subject is God the Father, who designed the ionos. That's the accusative of ion, the genitive, A-I long O-N-A-S, ionos. And so the subject is God the Father, who designed the ionos around the Lord Jesus Christ. Around the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, point four. Ionos literally means ages. Ages. Five, it was through Christ that he, God the Father, made the ages. It was through Christ that he, God the Father, made the ages. So, point six, the Son of God is presented as the mediating agency in creation. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is presented as the mediating agency in creation, not as a mere instrument, not as a mere instrument, nor as a passive tool, but a cooperating agent. So the Son of God, the incomparable Christ, is presented as the mediating agency in creation, not as a mere instrument or a passive tool, but a cooperating agent. 7. The Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians 1:16, "For by him, Christ, for through Christ, by means of Christ, by the agency of Christ, all things were created." All things were created through him and for him. For through him, by the agency of him, the incomparable Christ, all things were created. All things were created through him and for him. Colossians 1:16. 8. This means that all the laws and plans and programs and dispensations, this means that all the laws and plans and programs and dispensations that guide and govern the created universe through the ages reside through Christ. This means that all the laws and plans and programs and dispensations that guide and govern the created universe through the ages reside through Christ. 9. Whether they were unfolded in the past or will be unfolded in the future, they reside through Christ. Whether they were unfolded in the past or will be unfolded in the future, they reside through Christ. 10. The times and the ages began with Christ, and they will culminate with the incomparable Christ. The times and ages began with Christ, and they will culminate with the incomparable Christ. And we have a wonderful verse in Revelation. Turn over to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. So point 10, the times and the ages began with Christ, and they will culminate in him, the incomparable Christ. And Jesus Christ declares this, Revelation 22, verse 13. I am the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end. The first and the last. The beginning and the end. So whether they were unfolded in the past or will be unfolded in the future, they reside through Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is the incomparable Christ. So, verses 1 and 2 then sound like this. In many parts of the Old Testament and in many various ways, long ago, God, having communicated to the fathers through the prophets, in these last days, He, God the Father, has communicated to us through His Son, whom, His Son, the Father, first of all, appointed heir of all things. And secondly, through whom, Christ, also, He, the Father, designed the ages. Now that brings us to reason number 3, why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. And that is, He radiates God's glory. The King James says, who being the brightness of His glory. This is the relative pronoun host plus the present active participle of the to-be verb, a me, plus the nominative singular of apaugasma, plus the genitive singular of doxa with the definite article. So we have the relative pronoun host again. H-O-S, host, and host means who, and the antecedent of the relative pronoun host is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the to-be verb, a me, E-I-M-I, and the to-be verb, a me, is in the present tense, and the present tense has linear action start. You graph it like that, linear action start. And it could be translated, first of all, always being, linear action start, or two, there never was a time when He wasn't. There never was a time when He wasn't. Or three, He always will be. So always being, there never was a time when He wasn't. Or He always will be. Apaugasma tes doxes. Apaugasma tes doxes. This is A-P-A-U-G-A-S-M-A. Well, I got to do a better job than that. That's there, look, isn't that beautiful? And then this is the genitive case of the article, T. Long E-S, that's the genitive of the noun doxa, D-O-K-S, and the genitive is E-S, tes doxes. Apaugasma tes doxes. All right, apaugasma. And apaugasma is a hypoklegomenon. This is the only time this noun is found in the New Testament scriptures. It is not found in the Septuagint version of the Hebrew canonical scriptures, but it is found in other Greek versions of the Old Testament. A hypoklegomenon. So, one, literally, apaugasmos means radiance. It means radiance, it means effulgence, it means shining forth. Radiance, effulgence, shining forth. 2. Alpaugosmos means to view in the clearest possible light. To view in the clearest possible light. It means to see distinctly. To view in the clearest possible light, to see distinctly. 3. Apalgosmos refers to a light shining or flashing from a luminous source. A light shining or flashing from a luminous source. For the Lord Jesus Christ is the radiance, tais doxais. And that is the glory. 5. God the Son, the incomparable Christ, is the outshining of the divine glory and majesty of the living and true God, the triune God. God is one in essence and three in personality. And God the Son, the incomparable Christ, is the outshining of the divine glory and majesty of the triune God, the living and true God. 6. Jesus does not simply reflect God's glory. He possesses it. He is the glory of the living and true God. So he does not simply reflect God's glory. He possesses it. He is the glory of the living and true God. 7. The Greek word doxa, see that's the genitive case, I'll give it. This is how it's found, D-O-K-S-A, doxa. The Greek word doxa is often used for the essence of God, the attributes of God, who and what God is. So the Greek word doxa is often used for the essence of God, the attributes of God, for who and what God is. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. That's the whole human race. For all have sinned and fall short of the doxa of God, the glory of God. And there, the glory of God refers to a specific attribute, the absolute righteousness of God. So the glory of God in Romans 3:23 is the absolute righteousness of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the doxa, the absolute righteousness of God, Romans 3:23. Point 8. So, the living and true God. God is one in essence, but He's three in personality. God the Father is the first person. God the Son, the second person. God the Holy Spirit, the third person. And all have the same glory because they have the same essence. The same. God is one in essence. One in essence. Three in personality. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. First person, second person, third person. All have the same glory because they have the same essence. God is one in essence, three in personality. 9. The glory that Jesus Christ has in His hypostatic union, the glory that Jesus Christ has in His hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, is the same glory he has as God. The glory that Jesus Christ has in his hypostatic union, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic person, the God-man, is the same glory he has as eternal Son of God. 11. This fact is best seen at the Mount of Transfiguration. The Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus' glory was unveiled to his disciples. This fact is best seen at the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus' glory was unveiled to his disciples. So let's turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. We'll start at verse 1. Matthew 17, verse 1. And 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and brought them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. And his face shone like the sun. And his garments became as white as light. So, this means that you, at the very beginning of the book of Hebrews, you are challenged to see in every verse, in every chapter, the glory of Jesus Christ. Not just as God, but also as the God-man. As well. Now for us, the only place where this glory is seen is the aletheia. A-L long E-T-H-E-I-A. Aletheia. The absolute truth of the Word of God. So for you and me, the only place where this glory is seen is the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. And it will not be observed visibly until our physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. So, we have had reasons 1, 2, and 3. In these last days, He, God the Father, has communicated to us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He, God the Father, first of all appointed heir of all things, and secondly, through whom Christ, the incomparable Christ, also He, God the Father, designed the ages. And third, verse 3, who the Lord Jesus Christ, being the radiance of His glory. And now that brings us to reason number 4, why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. And that is, he represents Christ. But what does that mean? He represents Christ. The King James says, and the express image of his person. That's not too bad. They did a pretty good job there. This is the conjunction chi plus the nominative singular of I want to say the English word to confirm it, but I'll go Greek. Charakter. The nominative singular of charakter. Plus the genitive singular of hypostasis with the definite article. Plus the genitive singular of autos. Now the conjunction chi is the connective chi, you translate it and. Introducing reason number 4 why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. And then we have the word charakter. C-H-A-R-A-K-T, long E-R, charakter. All right. Some of you are smiling. You go, I know what that is. Charakter. Well, charakter is also a hapax legomenon. And this is the only time this word is found in the New Testament scriptures. And so let's take a look at it. First of all, point one, this is where we get our English word character. This is where we get our English word character. Two, literally, it means impress, reproduction, representation. That's literally. Impress, reproduction, representation. Point 3. This was the word used for the impression on a coin. The impression on a coin, charakter. Four, charakter was originally used for an engraving tool, sometimes used for a die or a stamp. It represented a mark or an impression made by an engraving tool. So it was originally used for an engraving tool or a die or a stamp, a mark or an impression made by an engraving tool. Five, figuratively, Christ is the exact charakter, the exact representation of God's hypostasis, God's essence and nature. So figuratively, Christ is the exact charakter, the exact representation of God's hypostasis, God's essence or nature. And we see this in Colossians 1, verse 15. And he, the incomparable Christ, is the image of the invisible God. And he, the incomparable Christ, is the image of the invisible God. Six, therefore, Christ is the exact imprint of God the Father in his essence, his attributes, his character, Therefore, the incomparable Christ is the exact imprint of God the Father in His essence, attributes, and character. Seven, by studying the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to understand the invisible Father. We have never seen the Father. We have never seen the Holy Spirit. But we have seen the Son. We have seen the eternal Son of God, the incomparable Christ. And by studying the Son, we are able to understand the invisible Father. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was here, everybody at that time, they saw God. And the religious leaders said, they hated Christ. They never saw Him as God. And Jesus Christ made it very clear, well, you don't know Me because you don't know the One who sent Me. You don't know the Father, the living and true God. If you knew Him, you would know who I was, because I am God. I am His image. But they did not know the Father, and they did not know the Son. So by studying the Son, we are able to understand the invisible Father. That's charakter, but we have with it hypostasis. H-U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S. Hypostasis. Okay, now, first of all, one, hypostasis is a compound word made up of the preposition hupa. Here is the preposition hupa. That's under. And then we have stasis, which is standing. So, two, literally, hypostasis means standing under. Standing under. Three, this is the word that teaches the hypostatic union of Christ. This is the word that teaches the hypostatic union of Christ. So, point four, literally, the humanity of Christ stands under the deity of Christ. Literally, the humanity of Christ stands under the deity of Christ. Hypostasis. So here we have point four, five, the incomparable Christ. He is totally unique. He's the unique person of the universe. He is the theanthropic person. He's the God-man. He's undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever. He is the incomparable Christ. Six, hypostasis means essence, actual being, reality, nature. Hypostasis means essence, actual being, reality, nature. Seven, the intensive pronoun autos is used for the third person personal pronoun, His, referring to God the Father. His, God the Father's, nature and essence. So 8, the Lord Jesus Christ is the exact image. The exact image. The exact representation of His, God the Father's, nature or essence. Powerful, powerful, powerful. As a part of the incomparable Christ. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ, being the radiance of His glory and the exact image, the exact representation of His, God the Father's, nature and essence. And now that brings us to reason number 5, why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. He is the sustainer of the universe. Yes, He is the creator of the universe. He is also the sustainer of the universe. Verse 3 says, upholding all things, I love this, by the word of His power. This is the enclitic particle te, plus the present active participle of pharaoh, plus the accusative plural of pos with the definite article, plus the dative singular of rhema with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of dunamis with the definite article, and the genitive singular of autos. The enclitic particle te, well, Arnton Gingrich, The Greek Lexicon, page 815, says you simply, this should be correctly translated simply and. And it introduces reason number 5, why the Lord Jesus Christ qualifies to be the final communicator of divine revelation and is infinitely superior to the prophets of old. And then we have the verb pharaoh. This is really cool. Pharaoh. You thought he was the leader of Egypt, see? P-H-E-R-O. Pharaoh. One, literally, pharaoh means to bear or to carry. To bear or to carry. Great word to describe the sustaining ministry of Jesus Christ over the universe. Point 2. Figuratively, it's used of the incomparable Christ bearing up, carrying the universe by His mighty word. This is awesome. Figuratively, it is used of the incomparable Christ bearing up and carrying the universe by His mighty word, and therefore means His sustaining ministry. 3, Christ constantly sustains not just the earth, but the entire universe. Again, the present tense is linear action sort. Christ is constantly sustaining the universe, the entire universe. 4, when Christ was in the cradle, He was sustaining the universe, bearing up, carrying, holding the universe together. When He was a baby in the cradle. 5. And he is holding the universe together right now. Holding the universe together right now. Jesus Christ, the incomparable Christ, is actually the one who holds the universe together, the entire universe together. 6. In fact, we've already noted the Lord Jesus Christ is the creator of the universe, yes. And we saw that in Colossians 1:16. And it's also, we'll see a couple other places. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1, verse, well, we're in Hebrews chapter 1. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10. Hebrews 1, verse 10. And thou, Lord, Jesus Christ, in the beginning you did lay the foundations of the earth, the creator of planet earth. And the heavens are the works of your hands. Here's Jesus Christ as the creator of the universe. Hebrews 1, 10. We saw it in Colossians 1:16. We see it in John chapter 1. Turn over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, which was not a beginning, was the eternally existing Logos, the Word. And the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, eternally was existing, eternally, face to face with God, God the Father. And the Word, the Logos, was eternally existing as God. He was in the beginning, face to face with God, and all things came into being through Him. The Logos, the incomparable Christ. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incomparable Christ, is the creator of the universe. Hebrews 1:10, Colossians 1:16, John 1:1-3. But here, we see Him as the sustainer of the universe. Here we see Him as the sustainer of the universe. 7. The incomparable Christ sustains the entire universe by the word of His mouth. The incomparable Christ sustains the entire universe by the word of His mouth. We are all living in a universe that is being sustained by the word of the incomparable Christ, the word of His mouth. The accusative plural of pos with the definite article means the all things. The dative singular of rhema with the definite article. Well, rhema is the spoken word. Rhema means that which is said, an expression or saying. In other words, Christ is sustaining all things by the verbal expression of His dunamis. verbal expression of his dunamis. D-U-N-A-M-I-S, dunamis. And dunamis means power, might, strength, force. Dunamis is used of God's power. It's used of the omnipotence of God. This is God's inherent power. The Lord Jesus Christ, the incomparable Christ, is sustaining the all things of the universe by the verbal expression of His power. Jesus Christ is truly the incomparable Christ. And as we are studying verses 1 through 3 and these seven reasons to describe the incomparable Christ, there ought to be something that comes to light in your own soul. Jesus Christ is more important than anything in your life. More important than anything in your life. And this is just in the first three verses. You get a hold of this and hang on to this, you got something very special. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.